Welcome back to Just One Question. And I have to say, I thought I had the coolest job in the world to get to be your coach and to be your leader or moderator of Just One Question. I have now run across what is either the coolest job in the world, the coolest person doing the coolest job in the world, or the second coolest one. But it's not a competition. Ezra Bookman just has a really cool job. He is a nationally recognized ritual designer. I had not heard of this before, so I'm learning stuff today, which is also always a good day. He's an artist. He's the founder of Ritualist, which is a creative studio helping leaders cultivate more conscious companies and connected communities. And we've been talking a little bit beforehand because I was just so curious to learn more about this. And of course, we mentioned the pandemic and how that sort of accelerated a lot of the need for rituals and reconnecting people and that kind of thing. But first of all, I need to ask, Ezra, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I love that you see that too, because I say it all the time that I think I have the coolest job and I made up the title. So yeah. I hope so. Yeah. But yeah, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
That's great. And so to the just one question, I'm very excited about what you're doing and learning about it. But what's gotten you excited these days? And with a specific nod to, is technology something that is adding, subtracting, enhancing, or making your life more interesting and more ritualistic, less ritualistic? I'm just really curious as to how you interact with technology in this world of ritual. So, Ezra, the floor is yours, and thank you for being here and sharing your coolest job in the world with us.
Thank you. And yeah, if there's only going to be one question, this is a great one. So, you know, what's exciting to me right now is actually, it's an idea. It's an idea that I really landed on, and I've seen it really like land for people and light bulb people and like open their eyes and open their hearts in ways that is just really exciting when I'm in a workshop space and you see that transformation and change. I love that. I think all the other facilitators who are listening know that feeling, right? When like something lands, and that gives me so much excitement, and I've seen it happening. And the idea is, you know, all right, if I just started talking like this and I just kept on talking and I wanted to tell you about rituals and how their rituals are really amazing and they're really important and you should really actually be doing them. And you actually have so many misconceptions about ritual. And here's, how long could you really listen to that before either checking out or burning out or both? Mm. Right. And my sense is that a lot of our lives are feeling like that right now. Like just a run-on sentence where everything is bleeding together and Monday feels a lot like Wednesday and 2023 feels a lot like 2022. And we just like keep moving through life and it running together and failing to have any sort of distinction. And the idea is that rituals are punctuation when your life feels like a run-on sentence. Mm. Rituals are punctuation when your life feels like a run-on sentence. Mm. And I just want to sit with that idea. That idea is giving me so much excitement, and I see it giving a lot of other people excitement as well. You know, that they are the commas, the periods, the breaths, the moments where we stop and pause and pay attention to what is actually happening in our lives, where we get to zoom out and feel connected to something more than ourselves, whether it's like our deepest sense of purpose or our families or our communities or our country. And when we get to process emotions, you know, both the heavy ones, the negative ones, and also the joyful ones, the big ecstatic ones. Mm. And when we get to really embody our values, either personally or even, you know, thinking as a company or a community, you know, what do you value? What's most important to you? And how do we know that? How do we actually see that? How are your actions demonstrating and lifting up those values as important? And the visual that I see is like a this kind of flat line. Our lives are like kind of feel like a flat line, like little bumps sometimes, little divots. Oh, that was sad. Or, oh, yay, graduated. Hey, you know, like little little things here and there. Yeah. But it's not the full experience of life, right? The full experience of life is like these big, that graduation could be this ecstatic moment, what Emil Durkheim calls collective effervescence, right? Rituals as sites of collective effervescence. It could be huge. It could be so big, but we're just going through the habit of it. Or that breakup or that retirement or something. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, we had a dinner, whatever, you know, moved on. But like, there's a canyon of grief that we're avoiding, which, by the way, doesn't go away just because you avoid it. And so what's exciting for me right now is both myself feeling more the full experience of life and also seeing others contacting that, breathing that in and moving towards that. So, yeah. And I guess the question of technology is a really interesting one. I think a lot of that flat line is, and this is not such a new or novel idea, but here's the thing. We have in our lives billions upon billions of dollars being spent. And by the way, some of the most brilliant people on planet Earth who wake up every day and spend their life trying to figure out how to keep you distracted, right? That's what we're up against.
Right.
Billions and billions of dollars, some of the smartest people in the world working together collaboratively to figure out how to keep you distracted. And not paying attention, because when you're paying attention, you buy less things, right? When you're actually tapped in to how you're actually feeling, you're not looking to consume things to fill those gaps. And so when I recognize like that's what we're up against with technology being the primary interface of that, I see how much of that habitual just moving through life and every day feeling the same has a lot to do with our interaction with technology. Mm-hmm. So I recognize that. And at the same time, I don't live in a binary world where something is either good or bad, but a both and sort of world where I recognize that the same tool of our oppression can be the primary tool of our liberation. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of great examples of that. And I work with companies, right, who are using technology to deepen the meaning of people's lives and create impact. So, I'm not a pessimist on that, and I'm not a doom and gloom on technology, but I'm also wary of it. And I see the way, just like ritual, it's a neutral tool, and it really matters how we use it.
Yeah, I can't resist adding to it to your thought that coming at it from a communication standpoint, the role of technology has been one of the effects, I should say, and role of technology has been to greatly increase the amount of information. This is not a surprise or a startling thought, the amount of information we can receive. And as a result, we're all suffering from information overload. And to your point, one of the natural human responses to that is to do triage, is to decide, I'm not going to do this, this, and this. I'm not going to consume these things. I'm going to set that aside for later. I'm going to put this in the discard pile. But we spend a lot of time just sort of sorting through the technology. And that's part of that flatline experience, because then things that otherwise might strike us as deep or important, or they might affect us and take us on a roller coaster ride that's important to do as humans, we're not going to do it just because we don't have time. We're too busy getting through the piles of stuff, you know. And so technology then, by enabling improved, faster, better, more communication, actually numbs us to it. That's one of the reasons why I was so excited about your what you do, because ritual has that ability, as you point out, to pull us out of that mindlessness and make us stop and
it's such a good point
become aware.
Such a good point. And, you know, I have a lot of empathy, right, for that flat line. And I experience it myself, right? We all write the book that we need to hear, right? And so, you know, I get it. And I think that a lot of times when I'm talking about this with groups, there's sometimes that reactivity of like, you want me to do more things? Like you want me to slow down and take more time? It's like, that's what I need the most, right? And there's that old adage, right, of the young monk in training who goes to their teacher and says, you know, I just can't find 20 minutes a day to meditate. I'm trying, but you have me washing the floor and I have to cook and I have to do all these things. And like, I just can't find 20 minutes. What should I do? And his teacher says, you should meditate for an hour.
Love it. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so there's a way in which we're flatlining as a way of protecting ourselves because we think like we're just so behind that we just need to do more and more and more and we can't take time to really notice what we're doing. And the irony, of course, right, is that in an effort to protect ourselves, in an effort to move through life in a way that feels like healthy, we're actually creating so much pain in our system. And that what in an attempt to avoid burnout, we will create the deepest kind of burnout in ourselves. Because when we don't actually feel all these things in our life, when we don't actually notice what's happening, it creates that sort of never-ending hunger for more.
Yes.
That will eviscerate us over time and will check us out because like, why keep doing all these things if we don't actually get the benefit of doing it? Why do it at all? So better just not to do it. Yeah. And so just savoring, it's like, you're going to eat anyway. You might as well savor that food because you're eating it anyway. You might as well get the enjoyment from it. And it's the same with our lives. Like we're living anyway. We might as well savor it and enjoy it, which, by the way, is the full experience of life. Because there can be so much pleasure in truly feeling our grief and our pain, which is to say to be human, to feel human. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
both the pain and the ecstasy
and the joy
right. on the other end of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Brené Brown says that joy is probably the hardest human emotion to feel. Mm. Right.
Well, we could talk all day, or at least I could ask you questions all day, but it was supposed to be just one question. And I want to leave the audience looking for more. So go to Ezra's website, check out Ritualist, and you'll find an enormous and fascinating body of work and interact with him. So Ezra, thank you so much. This is a truly wonderful experience for me, speaking with pure selfishness to discover the second most interesting job in the world. So congratulations. And thank you for being on Just One Question.
Thank you for the one question. And if you're listening and you want to be in touch, if you have a ritual that you want to share, or you're like, is this a ritual or can I make this a ritual? I collect rituals as a hobby. That is what I do. I love it. So please just reach out and email me. My email is Ezra, E-Z-R-A, at Ritualist, that's R-I-T-U-A-L-I-S-T, ritualist.life. And I'd love to hear from you.
Ezra Bookman, everyone. Amazing. Thank you.